It's always a joy to, you know, worship God, and also a joy that we can come together as a church, right, without any hindrance to listen to God's word. So let's spend some time in prayer as we hear God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of hearing your word. It's a privilege, O God, that we can hear your word, and we can also live according to your word, O God, without any difficulties in this world. We are reminded, O God, of many Christians who are persecuted, Father, because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, God, help us, O Lord, not to take our Christian life for granted, O God, but help us to use every opportunity that's given to us to live out the gospel for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7, right? It's a passage that speaks about lessons in leadership. I think for the past few weeks, we've been looking at the church, right? Things about the church, and particularly, you know, the third church in Thessalonica and all that. I think this is an important topic, I think, as a church that we need to be looking at, because if you realize, all of us are leaders, whether you agree with me or not, because all of us are leaders, because we are leading our lives, right? We are leading our lives by making the needed decisions for our life, and we want to choose a particular path, right? And we choose not to go in a different path. So in one way or another, all of us are leaders, right? We are leading our lives, we are leading our families, right? We are, maybe some of us are in a career, a path where you are boss, right? You're executive level, or you're a director or managerial level, and so you're leading the esteemed organization. So we lead our Christian life, we lead our lives, we lead our families, and wherever we are always leading, right? So whenever you talk about leadership in the world, right, there are so many books. I was trying to Google and find out, you know, how many books or sites are there about leadership. I think there are numerous. Almost every day there is a book about leadership, how to lead and how to lead. Wonderful, right? Wonderful books, because they look at different perspectives and all that. But many times what happens, you know, we bring that kind of leadership into the church. There are good ones, I'm not saying no, right? But at the same time, I think it's important, because when you look at God's word is so rich, right? It covers almost every topic that you want to discuss, right? It is so rich that even it speaks about leadership and is what is expected and what God expects, right, in terms of leadership in the church. And Acts chapter 6 is a very good example, which I thought, you know, would be good for us to look at, right? What is leadership and in where the church is coming from? Just to give you a background, Acts chapter 6, I know your eyesight is 20/20, that's why it's so small. 20/20? Mine is not 20/20, less than 20/20, right? Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7, it was happening, you know, if you realize the church was growing. Right, the church was growing. It was on the fast track. God was adding. Even Michael was reading a passage during the call to worship. The Lord was just adding. Can you imagine? The church was just growing. And many times we think when the church is growing, there's less of a problem. Right? We think everything is okay because growth is happening. That's what we want. Right? It is growing, so we are strong, we are vibrant. Right? And that's the way many a times we tend to look. When you look at it, you know, the church was growing in the midst of persecution, right? People were just coming against the church. The Judaizers were coming against the church. You know, the Pharisees were coming against the church. The priests on those days, they were just coming against the church. Even in the midst of a political environment which was not so conducive for them, the church was growing. Can you imagine? That's so wonderful. Wonderful, good news, because the church was growing. But very interesting what was happening, right? Sadly, not only there was persecution in the outside the church, but there was a problem in the church. Whether you like it or not, my friend, you know, problems will always come, right, in different various forms. It might be small to our eyes. It might be a major problem. You know, we think the church is growing. There is no problem. But here in this particular passage, there is a problem here in this particular church, you know. And sometimes we think, you know, yeah, that's part of life, Pastor Vincent, right? Problems are part of life. Yes, problems are part of life. Problems can even build our lives, build a church, or it can even bring a dent to the church also. to some churches, it can even destroy the church. So it's how we deal with a crisis. So church is wonderful. It's a body of Christ. It's chosen by Christ. You know, it's, yes, but as a church, we need to be realizing that all of us are involved in something or another for the building of the church. Or even we can be destroying the church. And that was what happening in the church, you know, in the church, in according to Acts chapter 6, the church in Jerusalem. Let's look at the problem, right? And when you look at the problem, you might think, you know, that's an easy thing. Let's look at the problem that the church was facing. You know, the church was having a crisis, right? And so when the church has a crisis, sometimes either we can become panic. Some people, can you imagine, you know, if a snake comes into this sanctuary, some of us will be stunned, right? Motionless. Some of us will scream, wah, right? Not scream for joy. Some of us will just run away. Some of us might even pass out, right? Right? We do not know what has happened. Some of us might even go to the snake and catch the snake. We realize. Some of us can run away when there is an issue. Some of us can freeze to death. Some of us will close our eyes and scream. And some of us are bold enough to go near, right, and deal with the snake. And so what's happening? The crisis is coming. The church could have actually panicked and said, you know, why? We are growing. Almost every day we are having growth in the church. You know, they could have said, you know, what's happening? They could have actually seen it in a different way altogether, that a problem can either build us, right, or even can bring a dent to us. What was the problem? You know, before that, you know, what was the crisis? You know, in those days, when the number of disciples, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 onwards, were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Wow, that's the problem. That's a problem in the snack time. Can you imagine? If you go to snack time and you are there and suddenly you come and you say, you know, I don't get snacks, you know, and always this group of people, the young people only get the snacks. We don't get the snacks. That was the problem of the church. Just daily distribution of food. You know, when we look at it, we will say, this is a simple problem, right? It is a simple problem, and that's the way many of us will be looking at it. But if you realize, it's a problem of entitlement, that I'm entitled to, that my people are entitled to. And let me tell you, that's the culture that we live today, my friend. We feel that we are entitled to certain things. If I'm not entitled, if I don't have access to it, what happens? It becomes an issue, it becomes a struggle. And this was the problem of the church, right? The daily distribution. When I was trying to read the particular text to realize what was the underlying problem, it was not just the distribution of food, but there was a cultural problem in the church. It was not just the distribution of the food, but it was a cultural problem in the church. If you realize what was happening, the church was growing. It was becoming diverse. Different people were coming into the church with different thinking, with different backgrounds, culture, their practices, even traditions. You know, let me tell you, all of us different. I eat spicy food. If you imagine if I put spicy food every time at snack time, right? When I say spicy, that level of spice, I think what will happen? EMT will be called again. What's happening? Right? There will be an urgent EMT meeting. So there was a cultural problem here. The underlying problem was, what was happening? Because diverse group of people were coming into the church, and people were just bringing not only themselves, but they were bringing sometimes their baggages also, their struggles into the church. And that was happening in the early church. And the Hellenistic Jews, if you realize, they had some difficulties. In other words, you know, initially the church was made up of Hebrew Jews, and they were the ones. But because the gospel was spreading, the Hellenistic Jews were coming in. When they were coming in, they were also Jews, but unfortunately, they were a different Jew. If you realize, right, many of us, right, are from, you know, our background is from Hong Kong, right, from Chinese background, right? If you realize, people in Hong Kong are different from people who speak who are in Chinese who are here. Similarly, right, other races, even Indians, who are born here, brought up here, are different to the people, the natives in India, right? Even though you might speak the same language, you have different traditions, different practices and all that. That was the problem of the church. What was happening? The Hellenistic Jews were not serious about the temple because they were living outside Jerusalem. So the temple was not a main thing for them. Religious practices were not, they were not so close. And so they did not have much relationship with the temple. At the same time, their language was slightly different. The way they spoke words is also different. And their culture was different. They were much more closer to the Greek culture rather to the Jew culture. So they spoke the Greek language, or not Aramaic much, right? But they were speaking Greek. And so they had that influence in them. So when they came to this particular church, they realized, you know, whatever these Hebrewic Jews were emphasizing, it was not the emphasis. They were speaking Aramaic, and these people were comfortable, you know, speaking the Greek, because, you know, even their choice of words were different. Their food was different and all that. And the way they looked at things were different. And so when they realized that their widows were not taken care, that was an issue. You know, if you realize, it was not deliberately done. It was, you know, it was, they were taken care, but their way it has to be taken care by their culture was different. It was totally different. Because if you take care of the widow, to this people, yes, we have taken care of them. For these people, no, you have not taken care of them. There was a cultural tension. There was a cultural difference that was happening. Secondly, it could also be organization. Right, organization was not there, and so that was the problem of the church, right? And how did the disciples deal, or the apostles deal? That's an important thing. You know, sometimes you might say Pastor Vincent and, you know, all these people became Christians, and so, you know, the church should be a holy place. Let me tell you, the church, you know, it is trying to be a holy place, right? But let me tell you, whether we are Christians, right, when we come into this church, we are still bringing some kind of baggages with us. And that's why sanctification happens. Each and every day, you know, the Word of God is taking shape in our life. At the same time, the Holy Spirit is working in our life. But whether we like it or not, we still have our old nature in us. Certain things we think differently. Right? And God is still working in us. God is still working in our lives also. So how did the church deal with this problem? It's important for us to learn. How did we deal with an issue like that? Do we say, first Sunday we will have different snacks, second Sunday we will have different snacks, last Sunday we will have spicy snacks? I know that's not the way, you know, you deal with issues like that. And so, you know, sometimes it will bring down the attendance of the church too, right? So how did the church deal? Very interesting way the church was dealing with the problem. You know, let me tell you, it does not only applies to church, it also applies to our homes. It applies to the many decisions that we make each and every day for our lives. You know, how did the church deal with the problem? So, you know, the way you deal, it talks about your spiritual maturity. If we have a problem in our church, let me tell you, it is not only about our leadership, it's also the maturity of the congregation. Why today many churches divide? Why many churches they split, my friend? It's because it shows the maturity of the leaders, at the same time, the congregation. It's important. If the congregation is matured, if the leaders are mature, let me tell you, they will know how to deal with issues. Today, there is a lot of split. Even in families, because why do families split? Because, you know, they don't have the maturity of dealing with issues, my friend. If they grow in, you know, in the love for one another, you know, let me tell you, they will know how to deal with issues that's happening. What did the church do? So the 12 apostles, it says, they gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables, right? Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. You know, the first thing what I realized, you know, when you look at it, you will say, what's happening? The apostles could have said, okay, don't worry, you know, we will take care of it. They could have immediately said, you know, don't worry, we will take care of it. We will get something done. Probably we will get a better caterer to come and cater good food. What did they do? You know, very interesting. That speaks about spiritual maturity of the apostles and also the way they do things. If you realize, they wanted them to take ownership. They wanted the entire to take ownership of the problem, my friend. It's not my problem. It's our problem. It's not a problem, you know, with certain group of people. It's our problem. What did they do? The 12 gathered all the disciples. They gathered the entire church. It's a large congregation. It's not 40, 50, 60 people. It's much more than that. Can you imagine? They gathered all of them. And they said, you know, this is our problem. In other words, they were saying, you know, we need to be responsible for the problem in our church, for the church crisis. Because the body of Christ is united. If you realize that's the teachings of apostles very carefully, you know, even Jesus prayed, Lord, I pray that they will be one. And so they wanted the entire church to take ownership of the problem. If there is an issue in NCAC, each and everyone has to take ownership, my friend. It's not, the elder's problem or the deacon's problem or the leader's problem or this particular department's problem. It's our problem. The apostles could have said, you know, the catering team or the caring team, you know, need to focus on certain things. I'm not saying no. But I think many a times, you know, we want to blame someone else, right? But the early church did it differently. They took ownership of the problem. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very beautifully Paul says, if one suffers, every part suffers. The hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. If one rejoices, every part of the body rejoices. If one suffers, every part of the body suffers, my friend. So that is spiritual maturity, right? So they wanted the entire church to take ownership of what was happening. Secondly, they said, it's important, some spiritual guidelines they're teaching us. Secondly, you know, they said, we were going to teach spiritual priority. In other words, they were teaching spiritual priority, ministry of the word. You know, they could have said, you know, we will take care of it. Sometimes when you look at the passage, you know, it looks like they are very arrogant. The apostles, they think they are big boss, right? They're so arrogant. And they are saying, you know, it's your responsibility, as if that's the impression that we get when we read this particular text, right? You know, Jesus was talking about servant leadership. You know, they could have done it. They could have easily, you know, served tables and solved the problem. But what's happening? They are teaching spiritual priority. What is important in the church? What is God's call for the church? It's teaching the word of God, my friend. That is the priority. And nothing should distract us from teaching God's word, from emphasizing on God's word. Many a times what happens when the problem is there, you know, we put all our energy into that problem. I'm not saying we shouldn't put energy, but we should always remember there is a spiritual priority, and the apostles wanted to emphasize on that. And they were saying, you know, the spiritual, and we will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. Very interesting. We want to give our attention to prayer. It's not just preaching of the word, but prayer, dependence on God, and preaching of the word. That is the priority, and that is our call, and that is what we need to do. And they were emphasizing on that. Many a times I think we need to be careful, because some issues can distract the church from its original call. Right? the original mandate that Jesus gave to the church, the great commission that he gave to the church. Go and preach the gospel. And that is what I think is important for us, right? To emphasize on the word, because when I was reading this particular text, I was telling myself, you know why? Because I believe the apostles knew that the word of God will fuel the ministries. In other words, will energize each and every ministry. Because problems will add more and more problems. But we give emphasis on God's word and also deal with issues. We are energized, we are educated, we are edified, we are taught, you know, to stick onto God's word and to deal. And that becomes our source, that becomes our fuel. And that's what, you know, the apostles are teaching. Let me tell you, if you have any issue, you know, look at the priority, what the scripture talks about. It's important. What is this word of God teaching me about the way I should be dealing about finances? If finances are your problems in your families, look at scripture. If husbands and wives are having issues, look at the way Paul is writing. If decisions are you are struggling with, look at what God is trying to teach you about decisions about our life. That's spiritual priority, you know, the apostles are doing. Thirdly, when you look at it, you know, what did they say? Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men. In other words, you're responsible, right? You guys have to come and, you know, choose among you those who are to be known full of spirit and wisdom. Can you imagine? And they came with 7 people. The names are there. And for a moment, I was trying to imagine, you know, it's not NCAC where we have around 200 people sitting at a membership meeting. It is more than that. Can you imagine? They were unanimous in terms of picking up the 7, right? And they, in other words, they were the disciples, the apostles were saying, yes, we need people. We need different roles. We need different giftings. We need to enlarge the leadership base of our church. And so it's your responsibility. You know the people. You know the crowd. You know their giftings. You know the role. And the apostles, you know, they gave them the criteria. These are the guidelines. These are the people. Because they knew church politics is very common, my friend. Connections, right? Relatives. We know relatives, so we want to propose our relative. We want to propose our friend's name because we know. And so they gave criteria. The criteria was what? These people have to be full of the Spirit. In other words, they will be spiritually matured, spiritually minded, and practically minded. Not only spiritually minded, they are practically minded. They will know how to deal with issues. That's the way. I think it's important for us, particularly in ethnic churches. Like, sometimes I know relatives, blood is thicker than water. That's what they say. Right? It's common. Let me tell you, that's a lot of problems in many churches because of that, my friend. I'm not saying relatives are not good, but I think we need to be looking beyond that. Different roles and gifts according to, you know, the way Paul was, you know, when Luke was saying, full of the Spirit and wisdom, spiritual maturity, right, and practical-minded people to take leadership. Very interestingly, you know, what was happening? The 7 people they called, right, if you realize, all of them have Hellenistic names to them. In other words, none of them were from the Hebraic Jews. Probably, I think, when they were praying and seeking God's guidance, I think they could have been biased, right? They could have said, you know, we need to show these guys, you know, that they are not strong. This is our church. So we must put our people there. Have you realized sometimes church politics are like that? We need to put our people there. We cannot give room to these Hellenistic Jews, right, who just came. But I think they were sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit. And they chose 7 men, right, who came or had Hellenistic name, my friend. Can you imagine, right? They saw beyond their relationship, beyond friends, beyond connections. They wanted to see people who were full of the Spirit and wisdom. And the entire church, imagine, right? In verse 6, it said, they presented these men to the apostles who prayed. Interestingly, why did they need to pray, you know, to give it to the apostles, right? Because they realized the apostles were the leaders of the church. They need to shepherd the flock. They need to lead the people, direct them. They presented to them, and the apostles prayed. Sometimes I ask myself, why did they have to pray? They could have said, okay, that's a problem, you know. Can you, four of you, go and deal with that issue? You know, it tells us that every ministry of the church is spiritual, my friend. Every ministry of the church is not filling up the gap, but it's a spiritual ministry. Whatever we do in the church is a spiritual ministry. If you are a greeter of the church, it's a spiritual ministry. If you are providing snacks for the church, it's a spiritual ministry. If you are making this place ready, it's a spiritual ministry. If you are part of the worship team, it's a spiritual ministry. If you are dealing with God's word, preaching God's word, it's a spiritual ministry. And that's what the apostles were teaching them. It's important. Even the people at the tag, right? It's a spiritual ministry. And they affirmed their calling. You know, they laid hands. They needed the approval of the apostles, right? They did not do, you know, I feel like doing it, so I'm, no. They wanted to make sure the apostles were aware, the apostles approved, and they were prayed for by the apostles. I think it's important, right? The apostles could have prayed and said, no, maybe this is not the right person. Right? But so it is a sign to show, you know, that they were devoting themselves to the teaching and the leadership of the apostles. That's important, right? When you have a crisis, how do you deal? Right? When you look at it, take ownership. It's our problem. It's not someone's problem. It's our problem. Right? Even in your families, it's our problem. It's easy for us to blame another person. It's our problem. Right? The entire church took the responsibility. Teach spiritual priority. What is important? What's the focus? We shouldn't leave, you know, get away from that particular focus. The ministry of the word is important. Getting ourselves engaged to God's word, that's the original call. That's the call that God has given to us. These issues will always come, will always be there, because it can help us, it can build us much more further, or even it can also bend us. Lastly, you know, what was the outcome? When I looked at the outcome, you know, what was happening? Very interesting outcome when I looked at it. Can you imagine? As I told you, it's not 200 people like what we have in NCAC. Much more larger group of people, right? They can be a bit rough kind of people. What was happening? There was a unified response, right? For a moment, I was thinking, when these Hellenistic Jews had issues, they could have gone around, right? Gossiping. They could have easily done it, right? They could have said, you know, let's call our people out and start another church. It's an easy way out. Right? They brought it to, you know, the church or to the apostles. They brought it, right? And they also accepted, you know, the people who were given. Not only that, what was happening? The congregation too, the entire disciples, they were unanimous. Can you imagine picking up 7 people out of the hundreds of people, right? They were so unanimous. They presented to the apostles. I mean, the apostles also, you know, and these men also, right, they accepted the call. They could have said, no, I'm not going to come, right, in this. Can you imagine to serve tables? What kind of qualities you're talking about? Full of the Spirit and wisdom. And Stephen was a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful character. We could have used this person for another purpose. They accepted the call because they realized if my church have proposed my name, they have talked to, they have prayed, the apostles have prayed, we will accept the call. And that's the way God leads, my friend. That's the way God leads. And the apostles also, you know, they were very supportive of the thing that was happening. So it brought the church much more closer. Can you imagine? It would have easily split. It brought the church much more closer, much more unified, much more stronger. Ministries were taken care. And what was happening? there was continuous growth that was happening. Nothing can hinder the growth of the church, my friend. It was growing, right? It was growing. The word of God spread. In other words, they were still emphasizing on God's word. And that is the call that God has given to us. We will emphasize on the teachings of God's word, on the preaching of God's word, you know, making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just growing. It was growing, my friend. It was growing. According to scholarship, it says there was not only gradual growth, but there was a sure growth that was happening. They were growing. And not only that, what was happening? A number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Right? Increased rapidly. Can you imagine if the church is going through have a difficult time, you know, many people will not come into that particular church. They will say, you know, that's a church is having a problem. I better not join this church. Right? But what is happening here? The number of disciples increased. Because people saw that this church was matured enough to deal with issues. And they realized, I think that's the church I want to go to. Right? The number of and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. If you realize, this is one of the first time the word priest will appear, because the priests were always against Jesus. They were always against the apostles. But now what's happening? Even the priests became obedient to the faith. It was making inroads, right, into the priest community. Even they were willing to accept the teachings of the apostles. Can you imagine? It was not just growing within the community, but also in the priest community. God was giving them that great opportunity, my friend. It brought much more greater growth. An issue or a problem can bring greater growth in the church, provided we deal with it with spiritual maturity. It can even destroy the church. It can also bend the church too. It brought growth in the church. I don't have a story to tell you, but you know, I thought some of you might know, because you know, this might be if you look at it, the first picture I placed, the geese, right? The V-shaped geese, do you know? Hello? NCAC? Yes, wow. Yes. You know about the story? I think if you look at the geese today, when you know, some of you are wearing, I know, expensive coats called the Canadian goose. Wow, yeah, I don't have a Canadian goose, right? You know, every time you wear the jacket, remember this. And every time you see the geese, you know, this is the time they tend to migrate, right? You'll hear the honks sound quite often. I did some studies when I was in the U.S. about these geese. Not that I know I wanted to learn about birds and all that, but it was part of my study too. You know, if you realize they always fly, whenever the next time you look at a geese, you know, maybe remember what I've said, you know, they always fly in a V shape. Very interesting, you know. God is so wonderful, right? Not only He gave us the word, but He also, wanted us to look at the sky, right? Great examples, great illustrations that Jesus was always giving. And so God has also placed these particular birds or animals for us to look and to admire and to learn certain particular lessons. I think if you look at the geese flying, it's always in a V shape. You know, so for some of you might not know, you know, when each bird flaps, it creates an uplift for the bird following. In other words, when the first one flaps, the other one beside, you know, is able to go much more faster. So each one's flap, you know, enables the other person, right, to follow. And that increases 71%. In other words, you know, the power created, you know, becomes 71%. So in other words, it's easier for the others to follow. As I'm doing my role, it's easier for the other person. When the other person is doing, it's easier for the other person. So it's happening, you know, my flap, my growth is helping another person. When a bird falls out from formation, right, sometimes you will see one bird, you know, unable to fly. If it falls out of formation, what is happening? No, it is dragged by the resistance of the other birds. And so it accompanies, right? Thirdly, when the lead gets tired, what happens? Right? It rotates formation. Another person, another geese will take the lead. Because the lead can also get tired. Let me tell you. EMT can also get tired, right? and others come and take possession. Worship can also get tired. Am I John? Yeah, see, John is shaking. We need people to come and take the lead. Right? Tag might also get tired because I'm always seeing the same thing. Even though it's a spiritual ministry, it also takes, you know, rotation. The other geese would have said, no, I don't need. I just like to be a follower. But sometimes God wants us to be a leader too, right? And thirdly, you know, when one geese, you know, the geese from the back, they honk. They will always, right, make the sound. Why? It is to encourage those up front to keep up the speed. Right? They honk because the ones in front should know that they should maintain the speed. Continue going, continue going, continue going. And lastly, I like this, you know, it says, when one is heard, you know, one is heard, you know, when it is heard, it's two will accompany that one geese to the ground and make sure it is cared for, it is protected, right? And once everything is restored, the three of them will fly back and go into the formation. Recently in my house, I think my wife spotted my garden, you know, there were geese eggs, six or seven of them. Can you imagine? I almost wanted to make an egg omelette. I was afraid because I'll start flying like a geese. But, you know, one thing I realized, you know, if you realize when one of the geese is laying eggs, the other one will always be standing by and protecting. The other one is always standing by and not indifferent, but protecting. And God is so powerful, right? God is so loving. He did not only give us, you know, the word, but He also created nature for us to see. Right? We can learn a lot from the nature. When one is heard, what's happening? The other two comes down, cares, protects. When someone is tired, the other says, I will come. I will come and help you out. Right? And because, you know, that's the way the geese is, and that's the way I think a church should be. Right? Helping one another. So it's our prayer, you know, right? When God, if there are issues in our families, in our church, in our lives and all that, you know, remember the things that we heard today, my friend. Right? It's important for us. Let's pray. The apostles could have easily panicked because there's a problem in the church. Fear could have easily come into the church. But instead of exercising fear, they exercise faith because they know the God they worship. Even sometimes we do. Might have issues in our lives or our families or our work areas or even about our decisions or even in our church too. How do we deal? Shows how matured we are. Do we take ownership of the problem? It's your problem, it's my problem. Your difficulty is my difficulty. Your struggle is my struggle. Do we still emphasize on the priority? Because God's word is the priority. Teaching of God's word is a priority. Engaging in God's word is a priority because from God's word, we draw strength, we draw wisdom, we draw guidance from God's word. And that's our call. And God wants us to use different gifts, my friend. And God has given us different people in the church with different wonderful gifts. It's not filling in the gap. In God's ministry, God expects certain things in our life. And every ministry is a spiritual ministry. If you realize that, whatever you do in this church, let me tell you, it's a spiritual ministry. The church grew. Praise God. It made further inroad in the community of the priests. Praise God for that. People were joining the church instead of staying away from the church. Much more growth. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can always go back to the scriptures of God and to learn about leadership, about management, about managing our lives, managing issues, about conflict management, many things. We thank you for your word, O God. And we thank you that we have access to your word. We pray, God, that you will help us to major on the major things and not to major on the minor things. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.